We are beginning today in Masechta Shabbos, in the middle of the last line, on Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis, with the words, Amar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rab Yoinasan. We learned in yesterday's shiur a simen. You can find the simen 15 lines from the bottom of this Amud, where it says, Ruvain, B'nei Eli, B'nei Shmuel, David, Ushlaima, V'yoyesh, Simen. And what these individuals have in common is that concerning each one of them, it seems to say in the Torah that they committed very terrible averos. And what they also have in common is that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, in the name of Rav Yoinasan, explains on each one that Kol Ha'omer, for example, Ruvain, Chata ein elatoya, whoever thinks that Reuven did the Avera with having relations with the Bila is making a mistake. He really did not do such an Avera. Or we also learned yesterday already the B'nai Eli, Kolo Oimer, B'nai Eli Chatu ein elatoya, that both Chafni and Pinchas did not do the Avera that it seems that they had relations with a married woman, married women. And so our Gemara today continues with another statement, the next statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the name of Rav Yoinasan, and that will be concerning the B'nai Shmuel. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yoinasan, Kol Ha'omer, and now we turn to Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. B'nai Shmuel Chatu Eino Yalatoya. Whoever is of the opinion that the sons of Shmuel sinned and did the averas, as Rashi says, b'mekach shoychat v'atias din, that they took bribery and they perverted justice as a result of taking that bribery, and that's what it's written in the Navi. Whoever thinks that they actually did that avera, ein elatoy, is making a mistake, because in fact they did not do that avera. How do we know that they did not do such avera? Shenamar, it says in the pasuk in Shmuel, vayehi. And the Masoras HaShas now puts in the correct words of the Pasuk. Vayihi kasher zaken Shmuel, when Shmuel became an elderly person, v'loy holchu bonav bedrachav, and his children did not follow in his footsteps. And the Gemara deduces, bedrachav hu d'loy holchu. They were not on the level of their father Shmuel. They were not as pious as he was, but michta nami lechatu. But they didn't sin. They didn't outright take bribery and pervert justice. El aman nimekayim. What do I do with the pasuk which seems to indicate that they did those averas? The pasuk says vayitu achre habatza, that they turned to bribery. It means shaloi asu kemaise aviyem. They were not on the level of their father, and in a sense, it was as if they took bribery, but they did not actually take bribery. How were they different than their father? Their father, Shmuel, went around to all the places of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, v'don oisam b'oreihem, and he judged them, he litigated their various monetary disputes in their cities. He didn't wait for the people to come to him, but rather he went to them. Shenamar, the pasuk says in Shmuel, v'holach midei shana b'shana, that Shmuel went every year on a trip, v'sovav, and he went around Beisel, to the city of Beisel, v'agilgol, to Gilgol, v'amitzpeh, v'shafat es Yisrael, and in each of these places he judged Klal Yisrael. That was what the father Shmuel did. V'heim, but the B'nai Shmuel lo yasu kein. They did not do this. Eliyashu bareim. They sat in their own cities. They attended to their own business affairs. Because had they gone out as Shmuel their father did, their businesses would have suffered. And rather, they stayed in their places and they sent out messengers. Kidei laharbo ischar lechazneyan. They were able to give wages to Rashi's Chazneim Hashem Sheim, their attendants, Ula Seifreim, and to their scribes. And what did these scribes write? Rashi says they wrote Shtari Berurim, which are shtorois of choosing which judge is acceptable to both parties in a din Torah, and also Rashi says le'igre shum. These were certificates of the value of certain properties which came up in the legal considerations. So this is the Avera that they did, which is minor compared to actually taking bribery, but it's considered that as if they took bribery. That's what the Navi means to say, that they were mata, they went after the Betza. It refers to this practice, which was not on the level of their father. The Gemara continues, Kitanoi, that this point, whether the Bnei Shmuel actually took bribery and perverted justice, or they just sat in their city and did not go out as their father did, this is a machlokes tanoim. It says in the pasuk of Yato Achrei Abatza that they went after the bribery. What does that mean? Chelkom sholu b'piem, that they were levim, so they were able to receive meiser rishon, and they asked the people to give them the meiser rishon. And the Rashi points out that since they were the gedolei hador, they were from the greatest people of the generation, and they were shoiftim, they were judges, so nobody could refuse them. And as a result, there were other levim who were poor, and they were not able to get from the meiser because people did not give them. They had already given it to the Bnei Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda has a different pshat, and he says that Malay hitilu al balibatim. They had a business arrangement where they would give over merchandise to certain people who would sell it for them. The profits went to the Bnei Shmuel, and whenever these people who were their business associates would get involved in a din Torah, then automatically the Bnei Shmuel would rule in their favor. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one who disagrees with Rabbi Yonason that we had before. We had before that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonason that the Bnei Shmuel did not sin with taking bribery. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this was the bribery. This was the negius. They were not able to objectively judge these cases because it involved their business associates, and they should have removed themselves from the case. They did not, and as a result, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he argues on Rabbi Einstein, he says that in fact this was the bribery that they took. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, what does it mean they took Betza? Kupa Yisera Shomaiser Natlu Bezroya. Kupa literally means a basket, an extra basket, an extra portion of Meiser they took, more than the normal one-tenth. They took that by force. And this would constitute, according to Rabbi Kiva, Gezel, they were stealing from the people that they took this extra portion from. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, what does it mean they took Betza? Matonois Natlu Bezroya. Rashi has two pshatim of matonois. The first pshat is that an individual has to give to a kohen when he slaughters a non-hegdish animal, a non-kaddish animal. He has to give zroya l'chayayim v'keva. That's, he has to give the forearm of the animal, the cheeks, and also one of the stomachs, the keva. But v'heim lo hayu kohanim, says Rashi, they were levim, they were not kohanim, they were not entitled to the matnas kuna, these presents that are given to kohanim. They were not entitled to the zroya l'chayim and keva, and therefore this constituted gezel from the kohanim. Rashi has a second pshat that it's not referring to the matnas kuna, but rather to the matnas leviya, to the meiser. And the pasuk says v'nasan l'koyin, that a Yisrael has to give meiser to the koyin, and not that the koyin or in fact a levi, any matanis that are given to a koyin or to a levi have to be given voluntarily by the Yisrael, and not that the koyin or the levi take it. And therefore this was considered that they were taking it, but they should have waited until the Yisrael gives it to them instead of taking it by force. So according to this, it's not gezel, but they are transgressing on that pasuk, which Rashi brought down, that v'nasn l'koyin, which we make a drasha in the Masech Tehillim, v'loy sheyitom atzmon, and not that it should be taken by the koyin or by the levi themselves. continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonison. Once again, we have Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani in the name of Rav Yonison defending one of the most famous personalities in Tanakh, and this time it's David HaMelech, with the famous Avera of David and Bathsheba. Says Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani in the name of Rav Yonison, Kala Oimer David Chata, whoever thinks that David did the Chet, Rashi says that he had relations with Bathsheba before Bathsheba received a get, a bill of divorce from her husband Uriah, Eino Yalataya, a person who thinks such a thing about David HaMelech, he's only making a mistake. How do we know he's making a mistake? Shenemar vayhi David l'chol durach of maskil. David was successful in all his ways. Vashem imoy, and Hashem was with David. And Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani says in the name of Rabbi Yonason, Efshir chet bol yadoi. Could David HaMelech have had such an aveira as living with an Ashes Ish, Uri's wife Bathsheba, and Vishchina imoy, and the Hashem Shchina should be with him? That's impossible. Elamani mekayim. What do I fulfill with the pasuk Madua Bazises Dvar Hashem? Nasna Navi comes to David and says, why did you embarrass the word of Hashem, Lasis Hara, to do evil? So it seems that David did evil. He did live with Bathsheba. It means, no, Shebi Kesh Lasis. He wanted to do it, but Veloy Asa. He did not actually do it. I once heard from my Rebbe, Rav Gershon Weishlita, the Mashgiach Ruchni of the Yeshiva of Staten Island, who said, pertaining to this Gemara, it certainly fits into the words, Kol Oimer David Chata Ein Elatoya. He's only making a mistake. Meaning that if a person thinks that David actually sinned by living with Bathsheba and Ashes Ish, and as we'll see later in the Gemara, by killing her husband, Uri, an innocent man, Einai Elatoya, that person is not a Russia for thinking such a thing about David HaMelech. He's only making a legitimate mistake. It's part of the Einish of David that for eternity it is written in the Navi as if David committed these terrible crimes. And if a person thinks that about David, you don't have to suspect that person of being a Rosh himself. He's making a mistake. However, if someone, for example, would say that about Chas V'Shalom, about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he killed an innocent man, he lived with an Ashes Ish, such a person would be a Rosh. There's no basis to say such a thing. But if someone says it about David, he is not a Rosh. He's making a legitimate mistake. Because David's chet was not what he did, but how he did it. People did not understand what David HaMelech was doing, as we will explain a little later in the shir. The Mefarshim ask a question, Vayehi David l'chol durach of maskil v'Hashem imoy, was said many years before the incident with Bathsheba. How do we know that it applied when he did the chet with Bathsheba? Why does the Gemara bring this pasuk to prove that he did not do the aver with Bathsheba? And the Mefarshim give two terutzim. And one terutz is that Vahashem Imoy means that every action that David HaMelech did, Hashem was with him. He thought about Hashem before he made a move. And certainly a person who's constantly living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and every move is guided by the Ratzon Hashem, it would be impossible, the Gemara learns, for him to have done such a terrible avera of killing an innocent man and of living with an Ashes Ish. Another pshat is that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Vashem Imoy means that the halacha k'moysa b'chol makam, that wherever David HaMelech had a disagreement with other Tamidi Chachamim, the halacha was like David HaMelech. And a person who's on such a level, the Gemara tells us, cannot be involved in such a terrible avera as murder or Ashes Ish, and therefore it is certain if the halacha is k'moysa b'chol makam, such a great Talmud Chacham, he certainly would not do such terrible averas, and that's why it must be that he, in fact, did not do the averas, although it seems from Tanakh, it's written in such a way to appear that he did those averas. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav, Rav said, Rebbe, that's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Da'asi Medavid, who comes whose genealogy comes from David HaMelech, Mahapech V'dorish B'tzchus de David. He's always turning everything around and trying to find a schus for David, that David did not commit those averas. And how does Rebbe learn the psukim in Navi concerning David, which Nasna Navi said to David, Madua Bazisas Dvar Hashem, why did you shame the word of Hashem, Lasis Harat, to do evil? Rebbe Oimer, so Rebbe, looking always for a schus for David, said, Mishuna Razumi Kol Ra Shabbatira. The way, as Rashi explains, the way this evil is depicted here is different than all other actions of evil written in the Torah. Shekol roi shebatayra, wherever it's written about evil in the Torah, k'siv behu, it says, vayas, that they did this and this avera. But v'kan, here concerning the incident with Bathsheba, k'siv, it is written, lasois. It does not say vayas, that David HaMelech did it, but lasois, he wanted to do it. Shebikesh lasois, v'loyasa, that he wanted to do the avera, but in fact, he did not do it. Continues the Gemara. Nasan Anavi tells David HaMelech, as Uriachiti hikisa, you killed Uriachiti becherv with a sword. What was your avera there? As the Gemara will soon tell us, Uriachiti was chayiv misa because he rebelled against David HaMelech, who was the king. He was a marid b'malchus who's chayiv misa. But shehoyu lecha lodoinoi b'sanhedrin v'loi danto, you should have taken him in front of the Sanhedrin, and you did not take this matter for a din Torah in front of the Sanhedrin. Tosfos asks a question that, in fact, the Gemara tells us in the Megillah that a Marid B'Malchus does not have to be brought in front of Sanhedrin, that the Melech himself can take the law into his own hands and kill someone who's rebelling against him. What does the Gemara mean here? That he should have taken him in front of Sanhedrin. Tosfos answers that when it says in the Gemara Megillah that it does not have to be brought in front of Sanhedrin, it does not mean that the case has to be made clear that he was a Marid B'Malchus. That has to be taken in front of Sanhedrin. Does Sanhedrin have to decide, yes, it's a clear-cut case of being a Marid B'Malchus? What does not have to be done is that the Beis Din doesn't have to look for reasons, as they would in other matters, to find a schus to save his life. If they paskin that he's guilty, they don't have to think about it overnight, as they do in other such cases. That is what the Gemara means in Megillah. But in fact, to get the facts of the case clearly established, David HaMelech should have brought him in front of Sanhedrin. The Rambam disagrees with Tosfos, and the Rambam says that there is nothing that a king has to bring someone who's rebellious in front of a Sanhedrin, not even for the facts. The king can decide whether these facts represent a person who's Marid B'Malchus. But however, in this particular situation, David HaMelech should have brought in front of Sanhedrin, because the appearance to people was that David HaMelech is taking the law into his own hands in order to marry the wife of Uriah. And therefore, in order that people shouldn't make a mistake in what David's intentions were, here is the one case where David should have brought the Indian of Marid B'Malchus in front of an impartial Sanhedrin, and then people would not suspect David of doing anything improper. Continues the Gemara, Ves ishto lekachto lechol isha, you took his wife Uriah for a wife. The Gemara says the word lekachto means lekuchin yeshachaba. You had a right to take him. This is the way how Rebbe understands the pasuk, that David HaMelech did not live with an eshes ish in the case of Bathsheba, because you had lekuchin in her. You had the ability to take her with kedushin, which is called lekuchin, taking the woman and having her as a wife. Why? Wasn't she married to Uriah? The answer is no. The Amar of Shmuel bar Nechemani, Amar of Yainison, Kala Yaitse, Lemachemis based David, whoever would go out to war, to battle, under the house of David, at the time that David was a Melech, Kaisav get Krisus Lishta, he would write a bill of divorce to his wife. Where did David HaMelech learn that from? He learned it from his father. Shenamar, it says in the Pasuk, that Yishai sent David with 10 pieces of cheese. Vesaseres charitze achol of the 10 pieces of cheese. Ho'ela tavi l'sarhal. If you should bring it out to the army, to the officer who's in charge of the 1,000 men. Vesachicha and your brothers tifkoid. Vesachecha tifkoid l'shalom. You should see, inquire about their peace, in other words, how they're doing. That's aruvasam tikach, and you should take their aruvasam. The Gemara asks, "My aruvasam? What does the word aruvasam mean?" Tani Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael have learned, "Dvorim hamuravim beinu lebeinu." It refers to things which are intermingled between a man and a woman. In other words, a man and woman are intermingled through nisuin, and you should take, since they're in battle. And as Rashi explains, number one, if you want to prevent that the wife does not fall yibum, if the husband dies and he doesn't have any children, so his wife could fall yibum, and he wants to save his wife from yibum, so he would write a get to his wife, or the husband may die in battle and no one saw him die, there were no witnesses, so his wife would remain an aguna, she would not be able to remarry, or he was captured and nobody knows where he is. So because of all of these reasons, a get was made by the person going to battle. And Rashi also says that sometimes if somebody was very busy before he went into battle, he would send the get, as Uriah did, from the battlefield to his wife Bathsheba. So in fact, there was a get that was sent from Uriah to Bathsheba. And where did David know about this? David knew because this was the practice which was started by Yishai, that the gittin were sent by the sons who were in battle to their wives. Rashi, there's a machlokes here, Rashi and Tosfos, and it's also in other places in Shas as well, a famous machlokes. Rashi says that this get was al tnai, it was conditional. If he dies, then the wife is retroactively divorced. However, Tosfos disagrees. First, Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Get Krisus explains that Rashi means although the soldier might come back to his wife in the middle of the war, but the get would be activated retroactively if he did not return at the end of the war, as was the case by Uriah. However, Tosfos asks on Rashi from a Gemara in Gittin, Dafayin Gimel, where the Gemara says, what is the status of the wife all the days until the husband dies and the get goes into effect? Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Harei ke'esh ish l'chol dvareh, she is a bona fide esh ish. So Tosfos asks on Rashi, according to you that here was a get al tnai, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is a get al tnai, a get a conditional get, until the husband dies and it works retroactively. During that period, she's considered a regular Eishes Ish. If so, David had relations with Bathsheba while Uri was still alive, and she has a status of a regular married woman. How could this be? So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam says that it was a regular get. However, we find that David's relationship with Bathsheba, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us, was a status of a suffic Eishes Ish. Until the get retroactively goes into effect, until the husband dies, so the status of the woman is a suffic Eishes Ish. She's in doubt is her status. According to Tosfos' understanding of this get, why is she in doubt? She has a bona fide get right from the beginning. There's nothing to wait for. The answer to it says that this get was given in private, and therefore people really didn't know if the woman was divorced or not. Other men would not want to marry this lady because perhaps she is still married. And then later, after the husband would return from battle, he could remarry his wife. And in the case of Uriah, perhaps there was even a commitment for Uriah, an understanding between them that he would remarry his wife upon his return from battle. And the chet, according to Tosfos Pshat, the avera that David HaMelech did was David HaMelech knew that Mashiach is supposed to come out from him. And David HaMelech thought that it is more important for him to create Mashiach with Batsheva together than to honor the commitment that Batsheva had for Uriah to remarry Uriah at the end of the war. And from here we learn out that how important Beinam L'Chaveri is, the commitment of, as Nassan explained to David, you took away the one sheep that this poor man had. You had many sheep and he had only one sheep. You took her away, meaning that there was a commitment. You didn't honor that commitment. You moved too quickly and you thought you're doing the biggest mitzvah because you're bringing about the creation many generations later of Mashiach. And that's more important than the Beinam L'Chaver. That's your mistake. And but to think that David HaMelech lived with an Eishes Ish, number one, Batsheva at this time was 5 or 6 years old. Number two, David HaMelech says, Libi Chol Bekirbi, he had totally annihilated, destroyed the Yetzirah from himself. So therefore, the only way that David HaMelech could make a sin here, an Aveira, is by a mistake in Cheshbon. He thought he was doing the greatest thing in the world to create Mashiach as quickly as possible, Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvahs, and his mistake was that a commitment to a fellow human being is even stronger, is even more important than bringing Mashiach quickly. Continues the Gemara, Va'oisoi harakta becher b'nei Ammon. Nasan Navi tells to David that you killed Uriah with the sword of b'nei Ammon when he was sent into the height of battle, and he was killed in the battle with b'nei Ammon. It is you who killed him with that sword. But Rebbe, again, is trying to find a good explanation to in honor of his ancestor David, and he learns it, Ma cherv b'nei Ammon i'aton nanishlov. Just like the sword of b'nei Ammon, you are not punished for what they did. You had nothing to do with people that they killed. Af Uriachiti, so too Uriachiti, i'atonenish olav, you are not punished for him because he deserved to die. My taima, moirid b'malchus havah, because he rebelled against the king, he rebelled against David HaMelech. How did he rebel? Says the Gemara, da'amar lei, because David HaMelech had told Uriah to go home to his wife and eat and drink and be together with her, and Uriah responded to David, how can I go home and have things as usual? Va'adoni Yoav, my master Yoav, the general, va'avdi Adoni, and the servants of my master, referring to Yoav again, apnei asod achonim, they are lying on the field, they're in the middle of a battle, how can I go home and have a regular relationship with my wife? So according to Rashi, a person who's speaking to the king should not refer to his general as Adoni, my master. That was the rebellion, that's why he was Chayiv Misa. Tosfos disagrees with this because we do not find anywhere that Uriah thought of his master Yoav as a melech. He does not refer to him as a melech. He only refers to him as Adoni, and therefore Tosfos feels that that itself would not constitute being a marid b'malchus. Rather, Tosfos says the proof that Uriah was marid b'malchus is from the end of the pasuk, because Uriah says to David, "I can't go home." David distinctly told him, go home. That's the command of the king. And Uriah says, how can I go home? How can I have things as usual if my master is in battle? And that itself, by refusing the king's order, constituted Marad B'malchus, and that's why he was Chayiv Misa. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav. Now, Rav has told us the way Rebbe interpreted the Psukim in Tanakh. Now, Rav himself explains it differently. Amar Rav, ki me'ayin es bei b'David, when you look into the whole matter of David and Batsheva, loy mishkaches bei, bar mi de Uriah. You will not find anything wrong except what he did with Uriah. So although Rebbe learned that he did nothing wrong with Uriah because Uriah was marid b'malchus, Rav apparently, the way he learns the psukim, David did do something wrong with Uriah. Dechsev, it says in the pasuk, Rak b'dvar Uriah chiti. The only thing that David did wrong was in the matter of Uriah. Apparently that he is considered guilty for arranging for Uriah to die at the height of battle. Abaya Kshisha, the elder Abaya, Rami, he asked the stira, derava to Rav, from one statement of Rav to the other statement of Rav. Mi omer Rav Hochi, did Rav then say that the only thing that David HaMelech did wrong is concerning the killing of Uriah? Of omer Rav, Rav said that David HaMelech did something else wrong. Kibul David Lashon Hara, that David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hara, as we will soon see in the Gemara, and therefore he did something else wrong, not just Uriah. The Gemara says, Kasha, this in fact is a question. It seems to be a contradiction between one statement of Rav and the other. Gufa continues the Gemara, we just learned before. Rav Omer, Rav's of the opinion that Kibel David Lashon Hara. How do we know that? Dechsiv, Vayomer Loi Tziva said, Vayomer Loi HaMelech, the king David said to the servant Tziva, Eifahu, where is your master Mipi Boishes? Vayomer Tziva, and Tziva said, Al HaMelech, Hinehu Beis Macher Ben Amiel, he's in the house of Macher Ben Amiel, Beloi Dover. Rashi explains that he has, we have it here listed as Beis Lamed Aleph. He has nothing to him. In other words, Rashi says that he has no Torah. Ein Chacham B'Torah. But Uksiv Vayishlach HaMelech Vaykecheim Beis Macher Ben Amiel, he took Mipi Boishes, who was a son of Yoinesen, who was a grandson of Shaul, he took him from the house of Macher Ben Amiel. Molei Dover, Rashi explains that the opposite, he was full of Torah. Molei, with an Aleph, he was full of Torah. And in fact, Tziva had told David that Mipi Boishes is not learned, he was lying about it. In fact, he was a big Talmud Chacham. Chazia de Shakra, continues the Gemara, Chazia de Shakra, who David HaMelech saw that Tziva is a liar, ki hadr al shen alave, when Tziva continued to speak Lashon Hara about Mipi Boishes, my time at Kibul Mine. Why did David HaMelech accept it? Had he not seen that Tziva lied to begin with about the fact that Tziva was a Talmud Chacham and Tziva, that Mipi Boishes was a Talmud Chacham and Tziva said he wasn't? So then, when Tziva tells David, as we're soon going to learn, that Mipi Boishes was on the side of Avishalom, who rebelled against David, David's son Avshalom. So had he not lied to begin with, we could say that David was choshesh, maybe Tziva is saying the truth. But once he sees that Tziva is an outright liar, how could he have accepted that Mipi Boishes was on Avshalom's side? Mechti Chazir Shakra, who he sees is a liar, ki hadra al shenu lavi, my time akibul me, dechsev, ayoyim ramelech, v'aye ben adenecho, where is the son of your master? He's sitting in Yerushalayim. And as the Metzudas David explains there in Tanakh, what Tziva was saying about Mipi Boishes, which was Lashon Hara, that Mipi Boishes is waiting for everyone to see how David is fighting with his own children, and they'll elect him, that he'll become the Melech. So Mipi Boishes is rebelling against you, David. That's what Tziva is saying to David. And the Gemara's question is that how could David accept this as being true when he knew that Tziva is a liar concerning what he had said about the Torah stature of Mipi Boishes? The Gemara wants to know, how do we know in fact that David HaMelech accepted this Lashon Hara from Tziva, Minolon de Kibul Minei Dechsiv, Vayomer HaMelech, Hine Loch, Kol HaShalom Mipi Boishes. He said to Tziva, everything that your master Mipi Boishes owned now belongs to you. Because Mipi Boishes rebelled against me, it belongs to you. Vayomer Tziva, Shtachavisi, I'm going to bow down, Emtzachain, Be'einecho Adoni, that I found favor in your eyes, my king, the Melech, HaMelech, I found favor in your eyes. I'm thanking you for that, I'm bowing down. So we see that David was ready to give away all of Mipi Boishes' property to Tziva. It's a proof that he accepted Tziva's Lashon Hara, and Rav says, how could he do that? He knew that Tziva was a liar. However, Ushmuel Amr, and Shmuel says, Loi Kibel David Lashon Hara. David did not accept Lashon Hara, but rather Dvarim Hanikorim Chazabe. He saw things about Mepibayshis which seemed to indicate that what Tziva was saying was correct. Had he not seen those things, he would not have accepted the Lashon Hara from Tziva. But once he saw things that made him suspicious about Mepibayshis, so he is not considered guilty for having believed the possibility of the Lashon Hara. Dichsiv, where did David see things that seemed to indicate that Tziva was right? It says in the pasuk, Mepibayshis ben Shaul yored lifnei ha-melech. Mepibayshis, the son of Shaul, went down in front of the king. Actually, Mepibayshis, as we said before, was not Shaul's son, he was Yoinis' son, and he was actually a grandson of Shaul. The reason the Torah, the Navi writes that he was the son of Shaul is to tell us that he copied the actions of Shaul. Just like Shaul hated David, so his grandson, Mepibayshis, copied what the grandfather had done, as opposed to the son, Yoinasan, who was the best friend of David HaMelech. So therefore, the Navi, when he speaks about how Mepibayshis was actually against David, he tells us that he was descendant from Shaul, who was also against David. Continues the Gemara. Mepibayshis ben Shaul yored lifnei ha-melech. Lo yasa raglav, lo yasa svamai. He did not cover his feet properly. He was disheveled. He did not cut his beard. He didn't shave. He looked disheveled. Ves begadav lechibas. He didn't wash his clothing. And that's how he appeared in front of the king. And therefore, as Rashi tells us, this itself caused David to think, why does he look this way? It must be that he feels bad that I returned. He thought that Avshalom would be successful in his rebellion against me, and that's why he is disappointed to see me, and that's why he looks so disheveled. Those were the Dvorim Nikarim. Uksiv, it says in the pasuk, Vayhi kivo Yerushalayim likros ha-melech, when he came to Yerushalayim to meet the king, Vayom lo ha-melech, David ha-melech says to Mepibayshis, Lama lo halachta im Mepibayshis, why were you missing? Why weren't you with me when I was fighting against Avshalom? Vayoymer, and Mepibayshis answered, Adoni ha-melech, my master the king, Avdi rimoni, my servant tricked me, Ki amar avdecha ech b'sholiach amar, because your servant David, I told to my servant to saddle up the donkey, Ve'erkavala, and I will ride on it. Ve'elech es ha-melech, I'll go to the king. Why don't I just walk? Kipiseach avdecha, because your servant is lame. I am unable to walk. I had to take a chamor. And Vayuragel bavdecha, and Tziva, my servant, said Lashon Hara about me, El Adoni ha-melech, to my master the king. Vadoni Amalch, my master king, Kimaloch Elikim, he's like a malach, an angel of Hashem. Vasei Atoiv Benecha, you should do good in your eyes. Now I was really on your side, but Tziva double crossed me, spoke behind my back to you against me, and you should do good in your eyes. Vayarmalei Amalach, Lomisadabar Oid Varecha, why do you bring up about Tziva? Amarti, I said, Atav Tziva Techalkus Asada, you and Tziva should split the field. Mepibayshis said to the king, "Gamis akol yikach, let him take everything." Achri asher bo adoni amelach b'shalom. Albei say, since my master the king returned peacefully to his house, let Tziva take everything. And the Gemara interprets, what did Mepibayshis really mean? Amar loy, he was saying to David, "Ani amarti, I said, masai tovi b'shalom. I was hoping, when will David come back in peace? Va'ato isli kach." And that's what you do to me. That's how you reward me for being loyal to you. You take away half of my field and give it to Tziva. Loyal lecho yeshli terumus. I don't have tainas. I'm not upset against you. El al mi sheviyacho b'shalom. I'm upset against the one who brought you back in peace, which means I'm upset against Hashem. Hainu dichsiv, that's what it means in the Pasukim Divrei Yamim. Ben Yoinasan, the son of Yoinasan, what was his name? Meriv Baal. The Gemara asked, "Vchi Meriv Baal Shmoy, was his name Meriv Baal? Valo Mepibayshis Shmoy, his name was Mepibayshis. Why does it call him over there Meriv Baal? Ela mitoch she'asa merivim baalav. His real name was Mepibayshis, but since he had a fight with his master, meaning Hashem, that's why he was called Meriv Baal. Yotza Baskal Va'amraloi, Nitza Bar Nitza. Abascal came out after Mephibosheth expressed his words against Hashem. You are a fighter, an arguer, the son of an arguer. Nitzah Hadamorin. How did you fight against Hashem, you Mephibosheth? That's what we just discussed. Bar Nitzah, you're a son of a Nitzah. It means really a grandson. B'nei Bonim Arein Kibonim. Grandchildren are like children. Because your grandfather, Shaul HaMelech, also fought against Hashem Dechsev. Vayavoy Shaul at Ir HaMolech. Shaul came to the city of the Amalekim, Vayarav Benachal. He fought in the Nachal. What does that mean? He fought in the valley. Omar Rebbe Mani, Rebbe Mani explained, Aliske Nachal. He fought concerning the Nachal. Explains Rashi that if somebody finds a mace between two cities, so there's a whole parsha of the Egla Rufa where we have to decide who is responsible for the murder of this individual. Says Rashi, Umala al Nefesh Achas, Omra Toira, Heve Egla Rufa, Benachal. You have to bring and chop off the head of the calf in the Nachal, in that valley. So Nefashos Halalu, Alachas Kama Vegama. This is a Gemara in Yuma, which tells us on the Chav Beis Amud Beis that Shaul HaMelech said, certainly we have to have mercy for these souls that are getting killed. Im Gedolim Chatu, if the adult Amalekim sinned, Ketanim HaChatu, what about the children? They didn't do anything wrong. So Shaul HaMelech, who was told by Shmuel to kill out every last Amalek, he had mercy on some of the Amalekim, and he was fighting, so to speak, against Hashem in the Nachal. So you are a quarreler, you Mephibosheth are a quarreler, the son of a quarreler, which is Shaul. Now Rashi on Amud Aleph, the bottom Rashi, Divrei Maskil Dvorim Hanikorim Chazabei, explains that according to Shmuel, David HaMelech did not accept the Lashon Hara from Tziva, but he saw that Tziva was disheveled, and although Mephibosheth gave a reason why he didn't accompany David, and he said he really was on David's side, David felt that he's not saying the truth. However, the way the Mesorah Shas has on the side of Rashi, that Mephibosheth felt that he was really loyal to David, and he was only disheveled because he was waiting until David becomes firmly reestablished in his malchus. And until that happens, he didn't want to dress up properly, and that's why he was disheveled. However, Rashi goes on to explain that David HaMelech didn't buy that story. He didn't believe it. And therefore, he decided that he's going to give away half of the property of Mephibosheth. Although originally he had said to Tziva that you take all of Mephibosheth's field. So it would seem that David HaMelech himself wasn't 100% sure. But he was worried that maybe the Lashon Hara of Tziva is correct. He did have the Dvorim HaNekorim in front of him. He did have those recognizable signs of the dishevelment of Mephibosheth in front of him, and he didn't believe Mephibosheth's story. So therefore he decided to take away half. Rashi points out, what does Shmuel do with the fact that he originally told Tziva that you're going to get all of Mephibosheth's property? It would seem that he was Mekabel Lashon Hara right then and there. Rashi answers, no, that is not itself a Kabbalah Lashon Hara, according to Shmuel's opinion, because David HaMelech was saying to Tziva, if I find out that what you're saying is 100% correct, so then you'll get the whole thing. But if I don't find out, then I'm not committed to what I'm telling you now, that you're going to get the whole property. And then later, it seems that David HaMelech had doubts either way, but because of the suspicion that what Tziva said was accurate based on the Dvorim HaNekorim of the dishevelment, that's why he was choshesh and he took away half of the property. And at the end, Rashi says that when Mephibosheth said the words Gamesakol Yikach, and the Mephoshim explain, he didn't say first, Achri Asher Bo Adoni HaMelech B'Shom HaBeisei, since the king came, let him take everything. Gamis HaKol Yikach. No, he first said, let him take everything. It would seem that this bothered him. If he was really so loyal to the king from the beginning, then he would have forgotten about his own personal half of the field that was going now to Tziva. It's like someone saying, oh, he's getting half, you know? Who cares? Let him take the whole thing. Which itself indicates that it bothers you. And if you were so loyal, this shouldn't bother you. So Mephibosheth winds up saying very hard words against David, and actually he is against Hashem, but at the same time this shows that he is fighting against David as well. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Now this is Rav. Rav Yehuda is saying the name of Rav, who's of the opinion that David HaMelech did accept Lashon Hara for no reason against the Mephibosheth. B'shosh Amar David Mephibosheth, when David said to Mephibosheth, Ata v'tziva t'chalkos asada, you the master, together with Tziva the slave, should divide the field. Yatzu Baskol v'amr loy. A Baskol came out of heaven and said to David HaMelech, Rechavam v'yiravam y'chalkos amlucha. Mida k'neged mida, because you accepted Lashon Hara, according to Rav's opinion, and you divided the field between the master and the slave, you will have to divide up the kingdom between the master Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, and Yeravam, the slave. They will both divide up the Malucha. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Il Moli Lekibul David Lashon Hara. If David HaMelech had not accepted the Lashon Hara from Tziva, Lenechlika Melch Beis David, the kingdom of Beis David would not have been divided. V'loy Avdu Yisrael V'Rezara. Then, as Rashi explains, Yeravam would not have set up the golden calves on the way back to Yerushalayim, and the Jews would not have wound up serving idols. And v'loy galinu me'artzenu, we learned earlier in the Masechta that the onesh for serving Avodah Zorah is going into Galus. If they wouldn't have served Galus, they wouldn't have gone into Galus. If they wouldn't have served Avodah Zorah, they wouldn't have gone into Galus. So everything, looking backwards, came from the chet, according to Rav, that David HaMelech was mekabel Lashon Hara. Continues the Gemara. This is the next one of the simon, and that is, which we learned on Nun Hamid Beis, and that is Shlomo HaMelech. Amr Rav Shmuel, again, it's the same Mandi Amr, Amr Rav Shmuel, Rechmeni, Amr Rav Yonison, Kalaimer Shlaima Chata in Al Toyo. Whoever says that Shlaima did a chet, Rashi says, with Avodah Zorah, is making a mistake. Shenemar, V'loi Hoye Levavi Shalom Im Hashem Lekov, Shlomo Mel's heart was not complete, whole with Hashem his God, Kilavav David Aviv, like the heart of David his father. So the Gemara deduces, Kilavav David Aviv, Hudaloi Havi. It was not like the chet of it was not like the heart of David HaMelech's father, but michtan amalechata. But he also did not do the aveira of Avodah Zorah. Elamani Mekayim, how do I understand the pasuk? Vahila Zikna was when Shlomo got old. Vahila Zikna Shlomo Nashav Hitos Levavi, that his wives turned his heart to the Avodah Zorah. Hahi Krab Nasan, that goes like Rab Nasan. To Rab Nasan, Rami, Rab Nasan asked a contradiction between two psukim ksiv. It says in the pasuk, Vahila Zikna Shlomo. It was when Shlomo got old. Nashav Hitos Levavi, they turned his heart. Vaksiv, it says, Kilavav David Aviv, his heart was not like the heart of David his father. We can deduce, Kilavav David Aviv, Hudul. He did not sin outright with Avodah Zorah. Hachi Kamar, this is the answer to the contradiction. To go, but he did not. He did not actually go. It says to go, but he didn't actually go. The question is, Oz Yivne Shlaima Bama, then Shlomo Melech built a Bama to Lichmoish Koitz Moyav, an altar to Kmoish, the Shikutz of Moyav, the abomination of Moyav, the idol of Moav. So it says that he built it. The answer is Shabikish Livnois, he wanted to build the Vloibani, did not actually build it. El Miyata, if Yivne means he wanted, but he didn't actually do it, we have a pasuk, Oz Yivne Yeshua Mizbeach Lashem. Yeshua built the Mizbeach Lashem. Should we also interpret it the same way, Shabikish Livnois Vloibana, that he wanted to build it, he didn't build it? El Adabani, you have to say over there, he built it. Achanami Adabana. So here by Shlomo, it seems he also built it. Ela Kedisanya. I'll prove to you from somewhere else that Shlomo HaMelech did not actually build it. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, Ves HaBomis Asher Pnei Yushalayim Asher Mimin Lahar Mishcha. The Bomis that were at the right side of Yushalayim, that were facing Yushalayim to the right of Har Mishka, Rashi says, the mountain of oil, referring to Har Azesim, Asher Bona Shlomo Melech Yisrael Ashtaroth Shikut Sidonim, that Shlomo built for the Avodah Zor of Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Sidonim. And it says that Yoshiyahu destroyed those Avodah Zoras. The question is, Efshir Bo Asa V'loi Biram, Asa destroyed all the Avodah Zoras. He didn't destroy the one Shlomo made. Yoshafet V'loi Biram, is it possible Yoshafet came and did not destroy them? Atche Bo Yoshio V'yirim, until Yoshio destroyed them. Aloi Kol Avodah Zoras Shabbat Yisrael, Asa V'Yoshafet Biram. They destroyed all the Avodah in Eretz Yisrael. Ella, Makish V'Sharam L'Achroinim. We have to compare what Shlomo built to what the Yoshio destroyed. Ma Achroinim Loi Asu V'Tolo Ben L'Shvach. Just like the last ones were destroyed by Yoshio, even though they were destroyed earlier, and Yoshio only destroyed those Avodah Zarahs from the time of Asa and Yoshafat, but it's considered as if he destroyed the earlier ones as well. Afer Shainim, the earlier ones that were built, Loi Asu, V'tolo Ben Lignai, they were not made by the ones that the Torah says made them, but yet it's considered as if they made them. But actually, Shlomo did not make them. V'oksiv ayash Shlomo rabbein Hashem. Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem. El bnei shehoyel limchais benashiv lemichai. Should have protested against what his wives were doing. They were serving in avodah zarah, and he didn't protest. Ma'al of akosiv kilu chata. The Torah considered as if he sinned. Amr of Yudah Mishmuel noyach leilois tzaddik. It would have been easier for that tzaddik Shlomo sheim shamish ledavar acher. He would have been paid money to be a shamish for a davar acher, something else, meaning the avodah zarah. Va'yikosiv boy, rather than it should be written about him. That was devastating, that for eternity Shlomo, concerning Shlomo, would be written that he did bad in the eyes of Hashem. Amar of Yudah Mishmuel, Bishoshanasa Shlomo's bas Parai, when Shlomo married the daughter of Parai, Ichnisaloi Aleph Minizemer, she brought in 1,000 different kinds of musical instruments. For Amraloi, and she said to Shlomo, Kachois Lavodah Zarah Plonis, this is which musical instrument you use for that Avodah Zarah, the Kachois Lavodah Zarah Plonis, and this is what you do for this Avodah Zarah. V'lai Michabash, he did not object, he did not rebuke. Amr of Yudah Mishmuel, Bishoah Shanasa Shlomo es Bas Parai, when Shlomo married the daughter of Parai, Yored Gavriel came down, V'noatz Kana B'yam, and he put a reed into the sea, V'olu Boy Shirtun, and there was a sandbank around that reed, V'olu Nivna Krach Gadol Sharomi, and the city of Rome was built eventually on top of that sandbank. B'masnitza Tana, we learned in a Brisa, Oisoi Hayoim Shehichnas Yeravim Shnei Eglezov, when Yeravim brought the two calves of gold, Echad Bebeisel, one in Beisel, Echad Bedon, and one in Don, Nivnet Shrif Echad, there was one hut of a hunter, which is made out of willows and the reeds, a little hut was made on that sandbank that Gavriel had put there into the ocean, Vizehu Italia Shalyovin, and this is Italy, the city of Greece, which was eventually taken over by Rome, and that city became the city of Rome. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonason, a final one that Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says the name of Rabbi Yonason, Kolomer Yoshio Chata Ein Alatoy, although in the Simon on Nun Hamid Beis it says Yoyosh as the final one, but if you look at the Mesaras HaShas on the side it says V'yoshio, and this fits in with our Gemara that says the last one is Yoshio, that he too, whoever thinks he sinned, Kolomer Yoshio Chata Ein Alatoy Shnemer. Vayasa Yoshua ben Hashem, Yoshua did straight and righteous in the eyes of Hashem. Vayelech b'chol derech David aviv, he went in all the ways of David his father. Elamani makayim u'kamoyu loyhoyu lefonav, there was no one like Yoshua, melech asher shav, that he returned with all his heart to Hashem. So if he returned, it means he sinned. So it would seem that he did do sins. The answer is, shekol dayan, the word should be here, dinin. All the judgments had done that he judged me, Ben Shmoyin Ad Shmoyin Esri, from 8 till 18. He became king when he was 8 years old. And the simple pshat is that he was 18 years a king. So all the judgments from 8 till he was 26 years old, or the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch tell us that a person should not paskin any dinim before, until after age 18. So it would mean that all the judgments that he did from 8 till the age of 18, hechsir in land, he gave back the money to the people that he found guilty. Shema toimar, either because he found the Torah, and the Torah that Chilkiyah, the Kohen Gadol, found, and they learned through it, so he was afraid that he had paskin the dinim wrong, or because of the Issur derabbanan, he didn't do any Issur deraisa, but the Issur derabbanan, that before you're 18 years old, you shouldn't paskin, he gave back all that money. Shema toimar, not the mizav, not the mizav. Maybe you'll think he took from one person and he gave it to another person. No, Tamalim b'chol moida, he served Hashem with all his might, meaning with all his money. Shenas lemishlah, he gave his own money. Upliga de Rav, and Rabbi Yosef Bar Shmuel is arguing on Rav. He says Yoshio never sinned. Rav disagrees. I'm a Rav. Ain lecha gadol b'bali tshuva Yoshio Meshiyol b'dayrei. There is no greater bal tshuva than Yoshio. Ve'echad b'dareinu, and one other bal tshuva in our generation. Umano, who is he? Abba. Who's Abba? Avud Rab Yirmiyah, the father of Rab Yirmiyah bar Abba. Va'amri lo Acha. Some say it's Acha. Achvad Abba. He was Acha, was the brother of Abba. Avud Rab Yirmiyah bar Abba, who is the father of Rab Yirmiyah Abba. The Amr Mar Rabbi Abba. Va'acha Achi Havi. They were brothers. So either one of them were the great Bali Tshuva. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Va'oid Echa B'Dareinu. There's another Bali Tshuva in our generation, equal to Yoshio and Rav Acha, or Rav Abba. Umanu Ukvon Bar Nechemya Reish Galusa. He was the Reish Galus. V'hainu, he also has another name, Nosen de Tzutzitza. And we'll see why he's called Tzitzitza in a moment. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Havi Yisivna Bepirka, I was in the shir, V'havi Kamenam, I was falling asleep, and in my sleep I had a dream, V'chazoi B'chilma de Kaposhid Yad V'kibli, that the Malachim came and were Makabal him. And Rashi says, why was this Baal Tshuva called Nitzutza? Because there were little sparks of light that when the Malach stretched out his hands to receive him in Tshuva, that they came out from him. Or another Pshat Rashi says, the Malach grabbed him in Tshuva in the sidelocks of his hair, and Tosfos and so on the side from Rashi and Sanhedrin, that there was a light that was shining on his top of his head because he was such a great Baal Tshuva, and that's why he was called Rab Nosen Tzutzitza. Hadrin Alach Bameh Behema, Hadrin Alach Bameh Behema, Hadrin Alach Bameh Behema.